can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Hey, here we go. Monday on YouTube. It's Al and Jerry. What's up, dude?
Good morning, Jerry. So I saw something, you know, we talk about, you know, like starting businesses and how difficult it is and all these sorts of things. So a number of years ago, the I don't know if you see around New Jersey, there's things called Pliables.
Yes.
That's a company name, though. I know people say Pliables sometimes when they
mean
those.
You ripped them once, I remember.
When they mean those acai bowls.
Yeah, you got into it with one of the owners and they got back to you. Why are you trying to take my livelihood away?
Yeah, I got, I got into it with the two owners. It's a man and a woman. They were once a couple.
Yeah.
And now they're, each have their own relationships. Oh. But they started Pliables and it's a great story. They had a little stand in Belmar in front of a pizza place. And then they got a place in Belmar.
And it expanded.
And it expanded. And they have many, you can become a franchisee, Jerry.
Right.
So I see in the newspaper that they're selling Pliables to a money place. Like a, what do you call those?
Like a hedge fund?
Not a hedge fund, but I forget what they call them, but a place that buys businesses.
Okay.
And the article said it is... They were that when they were looking for a buyer, they were looking for something in the $300 million range. Wow.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
Is that unbelievable?
Yeah, well, once you start getting franchisees, now your business value is a lot.
Yeah, and I guess this company is going to really roll it out nation. I mean, like, you're going to be seeing Pliables
all over the country.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I believe that.
So good for them.
Yeah.
They showed me, Jerry, right in my face.
Right in your face.
My whole argument against Pliables was that it's being pitched as a healthy food, which I feel like they add a lot of sugar to it.
Yes.
That's my, if you want to, I had nothing against people who want to eat Pliables. I'm just saying it feels weird when it's advertised as healthy.
Well, I think what needs to be advertised is healthier option, not healthy, healthier. Right. And that's a big difference because, like Smoothie King, for instance, you want to talk about sugar content. Holy balls.
Yeah.
And yet you would think going in there that you're the, you know, you're the picture of health if you're going to Smoothie King every day.
Yeah.
Meantime, you might pack the pounds on if you, depending upon, and they have good ones for sure, but a lot of them are not.
Right.
Is it better than going and getting a Big Mac and large fries and 32 ounces of Coke? Yes. Healthier? Sure. Healthy? Probably not.
Well, that was when I was arguing with one of the owners. The guy actually wrote to me, goes, it's healthier than pizza. I go, okay, maybe.
That's why I say it should be deemed as healthier option.
Yeah.
As opposed to you think you're having a nutritious, vitamin-dense, sugarless, wonderful meal. That's what I mean by healthier.
Yeah. Also, what's weird is that I was making my own Pliables at home, you getting acai from Whole Foods, not sweetened with anything. And it has no sugar in it.
Right.
And once you mix other stuff in it, fruit and all that stuff, it's delicious. So I was like, you don't need to add sugar to it. That was my point.
So my guess would be, and I don't know this, it's more expensive to do it your way. That's what I would think.
To sweeten it more, put more naturally...
Sweetens. I think it's probably more expensive to do it. Like, for someone to do it by themselves, that's one thing. To roll it out in mass numbers, they probably couldn't afford to do it.
Yeah.
Or,
I got to say, though, I go buy one of those, go pass one of those. They are always packed.
I'm sure they are.
Those two are rolling.
And you know what else is always packed? White Castle.
Yeah.
And Wendy's and pizza places. And it's Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts. Like, all these places are packed. And no one does anything at home anymore.
Yeah.
It is remarkable. And I'm guilty of it. Like on the week, during the week, we cook every night during the week. During the week, I make my coffee at home. Saturday morning, I make my coffee at home. Sunday morning, I don't. Sunday is the one morning I go get a Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Because I do. I know you don't like it. I do. I don't like Starbucks at all. I'm more of a Dunkin' fan. So Sunday morning, I get Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And Friday and Saturday night, we don't cook. Sunday, you know, Kim cooks Sunday through Thursday. Friday and Saturday, it's either we're ordering in or we're going out. That's just the way it is. And should we every week? Probably not. But we do.
Yeah, you got to do something, though.
I agree.
The thing I found. Like, I was getting annoyed at restaurants, but it's like, I don't...
What else are you doing to get out of the house?
Right. What else am I doing, Jerry?
I was pleasantly surprised. We went to... we've been going to a lot of local places lately. The other night, I played golf. On Saturday, I played golf with Joseph. We were home by 4 o'clock, took a shower. Neither one of us had lunch. Neither did Kim. I'm like, you want to go just grab something real quick? So we wound up going to Houlihan's, which we haven't done in years. And we got there right at 5, so we beat the rush because by 6 o'clock the place was packed and we were leaving at like 6:30. Kim's like, do you hear yourself? Because I'm looking at the bill. I'm like, wow, I'm pleasantly surprised. She goes, why? I'm like, it's only $88. She goes, do you hear what you just said? It's me, you, and your 14-year-old, and you're happy it's $88.
Oh, yeah, I'd be thrilled.
I'm like, yeah, kind of am. And then I'm like, you're right, that's a lot of money for what we just had. But I was like, oh, $110 out the door. Yeah. All right, not terrible.
It's a bargain.
Yeah. I mean, but that's kind of where we're at.
I started now because I was going like to the same places over and over again, which you tend to do near your house. I started the past 2 weekends going to places like 20 to 30 minutes away.
Really?
Yeah. Like going to, I'm in Bradley Beach, and we always would go to Bradley or mm-hmm. Asbury.
Oh, like Freehold?
I haven't tried that. That's a great idea,
Freehold
though.
Freehold has a ton of very nice restaurants right on the main strip.
Yeah, but that's a good move. I went to like Long Branch a couple places. Okay. And there's a place in Rumson I want to go to.
Which one?
There's a place called Undici or something like that.
I don't know that one. Okay.
I think it's in Rumson.
Okay.
But just trying to get out of that rut of going to the same places over and over.
The problem with that, now I've experienced the good side. I told you the place in Red Bank we went to last week was outstanding. Matter of fact, even Robin's Nail House in Red Bank is really good. So the last several times we've gone out and gone to a different place, it's been good. The problem, as we've always discussed, you have that one bad experience and you sit there and say, why did I just spend $150 or more when I could have went to a place I knew would be good?
And drove 30 minutes away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is nice to see different things and go different places.
That Freehold's a good one, Jerry.
Freehold is good. There's a couple of, I couldn't tell you by name. I'd have to go back and look. We haven't been there in a while. We went with friends to one place that's right off, you make a left off the strip and it's there on the right. Very good place. And then they have a whole bunch of restaurants right there where on a nice night, if you wanted, you could sit outside. Otherwise, you go inside. But several restaurants at Freehold.
I meant to actually send this to you personally, Jerry, not to do it here, but I saw a place in Eatontown, New Jersey. That looked like a fun place for you and the boys to go.
Okay.
Eatontown. I'm going to put an Eatontown sports bar. It's a place called Baseline Social.
No, I don't know it.
Well, this is saying it's in Oceanport, but maybe that's...
No,
like
it's right
same,
down 35.
The same thing.
Yeah.
So it looks like a place where you can... You can... They have like big TVs and things, but you get that area all to your...
Oh, that's cool.
Couple, like you make a reservation to
that's kind of pretty cool.
Yeah, it seemed like... Let me see what other...
What do you think of this? How about this for a concept? Tell me what you think of this.
All right.
People love to go out. People love to go out when there are games on. Liquor licenses are crazy expensive. And even the quality of food is nuts. And everybody complains about how much everything costs. How about this concept? You rent this space, you load it up with TVs, and you have to pay for your table, and it's a bring your own, and all you sell are packaged good snacks. So you don't have to worry about like the Department of Health in terms of cooking, no kitchen staff, all you sell are packaged non-alcoholic drinks, but you can bring beer in, you can bring what you want in, we just can't serve it to you. And you have to pay for your table. So I want table whatever, table 4, as an example, we charge you $60 an hour for table 4. You can rent it for 1, 2, or 3 hours. 3 hours if you're there to watch a specific football game or something like that. It's a pretty interesting concept.
Yeah, I like that.
That's not bad.
Yeah,
maybe you sell. I don't know. Maybe you sell coffee. You sell, but non-alcoholic stuff and no kitchen. You don't want to deal with that mess. Packaged goods, stuff like that. I thought that was an interesting concept.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. Because then you're leaving your house, you're getting out of your house if that's what you're trying to do, not stay in the same old house.
And you decorate the place like it's a restaurant, with it not really being a restaurant. It's just like a bar without the bar. It just, you know, I don't know. Then you don't have the liquor license you don't have to pay for. It's just so much easier.
I do find it strange that they'll, like, say to a place, you cannot serve alcohol here, but your people can bring in whatever they want.
A BYO, yeah.
That's weird.
Well, you don't have the license to sell it.
But I don't think these places exist other places, because I think New Jersey, like, I don't know how many states require you to have a liquor license to sell. I don't know. Where they only have a certain amount that they give out or that get paid for. Like, if I go to Indiana and I open a restaurant, I could probably just serve alcohol.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. You're probably right. I don't know.
You know, I do know why New Jersey's that way.
There's a couple of good ones in Jersey that I am aware of, and this is, it's legal. I mean, you're talking about the fine print. When a BYO opens up next to a liquor store, we can't sell you anything. But if you'd like to pay us $12 to go pick up your six-pack,
yes,
we'd be happy to do that. Then we come back, here's your six-pack in the brown bag. You just paid us a service to go pick it up for you.
Right.
We did not serve you.
Yeah, and then there's another thing now that they allow, which is in New Jersey, I don't know if they do in Long Island. In New Jersey, if you are a BYO place, but you can partner with a local winery.
To have that wine.
Yeah.
Yep.
To have that wine only.
Yeah, Patricia's and Homedale, I believe,
yes,
does that. I'm pretty sure.
Then there are other places, too, which this just goes into, like, all the fine line between it. So there are other places, too. Like you mentioned, you could, this liquor store next door, they'll deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll bring it to your table. But we're not serving you.
Correct.
Then there's also, like, if there's a restaurant that I frequent, I can just bring my beers or wines and store them at the restaurant.
And they'll bring them out to you when you need it.
When I come there.
Mm-hmm. You're not making any money on it, though.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It really is silly.
Weird.
It is very silly.
I still never found, too, a thing where if you want to bring a bottle of wine to a restaurant, they have those, first of all, if you walk in with a bottle of wine, it looks very normal.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have those very nice wine bottle carrying things.
Yeah, that's become a big thing.
Yeah. They don't really have a thing for beer.
They don't.
I mean, if you walk in with
just a
six pack or a cold, it feels weird.
Yeah.
And then,
well, you know what you could do? If you got, you could take probably three beers out and line them up one after the other, like it's a bottle. I don't know.
Oh, in one of those,
I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not sure how else you would do it.
And then it's strange, too, if you do what I did last week in Asbury Park at a BYO place where I went to the liquor store and I bought just a large beer,
mm-hmm,
which they put
a 24-ounce can?
Yeah, 24-ounce can. I mean, you feel like a little bit like you've got a drinking problem because you're walking into a place with a paper bag with a 24-ounce beer.
But you
it doesn't feel as classy,
I know,
as a bottle of wine.
Well, we've made wine like this classy drink.
Yes.
It's still alcohol, and it's still going to get you, you know, shit-faced, basically, if you drink too much of it.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, but it's all imaging. Everything is imaging. You know, I drink tequila over ice.
That's classy.
With just a little bit of cranberry juice. Okay. Oh, he's having a high-class drink. Meantime, the guy next to me, I'll take a couple shots, pig.
Right.
It's the same thing.
What's this guy's problem?
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, or I'll take a black and tan beer. Or this guy, give me the Ice House. Wow,
grab me an Ice House.
I'll take the Keystone Light.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's a loser.
This guy.
But this guy, you're still drinking beer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all image. Everything is image.
Yeah.
Everything.
All image.
Did you ever wonder the difference between, so like, you've got people out there that make a lot of money. They become celebrities. Whether it's for their acting, for their athletic ability, maybe it's just because they're rich and they start Amazon or things like that. Do you ever wonder why more, I guess people do now because of social media, but why more people don't try to make themselves famous to make more money? Like, I know it's a thing now with TikTok, but I don't know how many people really are making money doing it. Everything is image. And like, what is real and what's not real?
Very hard to tell.
It is. Like the people that, you know, we always talk about this, the people that have the two Mercedes in the driveway, nice house, yet could be broker than broke. Some people that live in a 3-bedroom ranch with 5 kids and driving a 1988 Oldsmobile, but could have more money than God, but choose to live a different lifestyle. It's amazing what image and perception can do for people and for society.
Yeah, they say sometimes that the person that's showing their wealth oftentimes is in debt. And the person not showing any wealth
is loaded.
They might leave, you know, that's the person here left $2 million to their family.
Like, right.
What?
In a trust that they didn't know that the parents had.
Yeah, because they're driving like beat up cars.
Yeah, it's true. Very true.
I was starting to wonder too, like, when do you know it's time to move on from your car? You know what
I
mean?
So I'm having this dilemma right now within myself.
That's what I'm having it as well.
I'm at 180,000 miles on my car. I've had the car for 4.5 years. I love the car. I know I need new front brakes. The car is still running great, but it's got 180,000 miles on it. I actually said to Kim this weekend, because her car, she's got an Expedition that's got about 100,000 miles on it. She's had it for about 4 or 5 years too. I was like, you good with your truck? She goes, yeah, I don't want anything else. I'm like, good, fantastic. We'll just keep that in great shape. And she asked me, why are you going there? I'm like, well, because my car's got 180,000 miles on it, but I don't want to get rid of it. Is it stupid to keep driving a car that's got that much mileage? And we both agreed, until something happens, I'm going to keep driving it. Like, I'm not looking for a new car.
Until you are faced with a major repair.
That doesn't make it worth it.
Where you go, okay, what do I do here? But then you run into things like I probably need to put tires on my car.
Sure, $1,000.
Right, but if I'm going to put $1,000 of tires on my car,
why not take that $1,000 and put it into a new car?
Or I'm committing now to this car, and then if something major breaks, that's $2,000. I kind of have to do that now too.
You don't have to, but I get that thinking.
And then when do you also think about what is that car worth towards a newer car?
They're not worth anything anymore.
See, I think they still are, which is weird.
You think my car that's got 200,000 miles, close to 200,000 miles on it, is going to be worth more than $1,500 on a trade-in? Honestly.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I looked mine up the other day, and I was shocked at what they told me my car would. You ever go with that Kelley Blue Book?
Yeah, you got to take that with a grain of salt, though.
A little grain of salt?
Yes.
I'm going to Kelley Blue Book my car right here.
You can,
Jerry,
Kelley Blue Book it, but I'm telling you right now, take the lowest number of the three.
Okay. My car's value. I'm going to do make and model, Jerry.
We'll do the trade-in value.
All right, let's see. I'm going to do this. My car is a 2018.
All right, that's the other thing. Your car's only 6 years old still. Mine is a 2016, so I'm at 8 years old now.
Oh, okay. This is fun. So my mileage, I think I'm at 140.
Okay.
I like how they tell you to put in your zip code. Like, my car is going to be worth more or less depending on where I go. All right, Jerry, let's see what styles.
All right.
This is exciting. But, I mean, come on. I'm just going to do price with standard equipment, and my car is this color. What are you most interested in doing? Trading in my car.
Yeah, put it in for trade-in.
All right,
what
Jerry
did you pay for your car?
I think I paid like 21.
You've got 140,000 miles on it now. I'm going to say trade-in value, $5,500.
Okay. And then they go, okay, what type of condition is your car in? I'm going to
say good.
Fair.
Fair is even better.
Which is the lowest one.
Yep. I think too many people always put in excellent.
Yeah.
Meantime, it's got 7 dings in it, missing a light, tires are bald.
Yeah.
Now you put in fair.
I mean, this is a lot of questions asked. Okay, so they're saying a fair trade-in value for my car is between $5,200 and $7,700.
I was pretty close. I said $5,500. Yeah. If you got, I will tell you this: if you went back to the dealer with your car, I'll bet you get the higher end of that.
Yeah,
because they want to keep you as a customer. I would think. Could be wrong, but I would think they would give you the higher end. Depending upon what you were buying, too.
Right.
You know, especially if you're going to buy a new car from them.
What if I was buying a new used car from them?
Well, it depends on how much we're talking. Is it $12,000? They're not going to give you $7,000 on a trade-in. If it's $22,000 or $23,000, they might.
What if this, Jerry? What if I go to them with my car, I get a trade-in, I traded for a car that's got 300,000 miles. They got to give me some cash.
They owe you money.
You guys owe me money when I get out
of here. I don't
think
it works that way. You wouldn't be one of those people that would trade in for the same car, would you?
Yeah, I am one of those people.
You would?
Yeah. I know, it doesn't.
It's boring.
It is boring, which is what's kind of keeping me from doing that right now.
That's the one thing I like about getting different cars.
Yeah.
I like experiencing all the different, it's just fun.
Do you ever also think this? You're 50.
50.
50. I'm 55. How many cars do we have left in us?
I don't, because you know I can go through a phase where I have five cars in 4 years.
You do. You went through a phase for a while. You were trading in cars and getting this one instead and bringing
it out back. I think I had four cars in 6 years. That was the phase.
Yeah.
Other than that, this car I've had for 4.5. I had the Prius for 5. I had a Ford that I had for 6 years that went 250,000 miles. I had a Toyota I drove for 250,000 miles. I'm actually pretty good with cars. But yeah, that stretch was not good. That was a rough one. That was tough.
Yeah, but what do you do, right? I sometimes think, like, how many cars do I have left?
I know. Well, I mean, that's like, how many summers do I have left? How much, you know, Jerry Jones talking about, is this the last contract that I'm going to sign Dak to at the age of 82?
And should you get the car, Jerry, that you always wanted? Like, you always talk about the Mustang.
So there's two different schools of thought there. You got the one where financially they will tell you spending a lot of money on a car is one of the worst things you can do.
Yes.
Then there are other people that will tell you, especially if you commute 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes each way like we do, you spend so much time in your car, get something that you really like.
Yeah, you better love it.
Yeah, so it depends on what your preference is. I kind of fall in the middle. I've never gotten the car that I really want other than the Chevy Avalanche. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I also do think about which factors in where are you commuting to. So we commute into New York City and we park on the streets.
That's a big deal.
That changes things.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes when I hear about like cars getting robbed and things, people getting carjacked.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, thank God, I got a beat up old car. Mm-hmm. So I would want something probably unattractive to thieves.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, I don't necessarily think so much I want something unattractive to thieves. What I do think, though, is I don't keep it in pristine condition on the outside. It's a little beat up. I make sure the car is small so I can park the damn thing. I tried the pickup truck twice. You can't park it around. It's just, it doesn't work. So I'm with you. I think of all of that when I think about a car. There are cars that I would like to get that I would love to take Kim's Expedition and get her a different. I think now we're pretty much out of travel athletics now. She's probably ready to go back to a car. I would love to take that Expedition. It is a great vehicle. And what am I going to do with it? How the hell am I parking that here? Like, you can't.
Yeah, you can't.
So, and gas-wise, it doesn't make sense either with, you know, 19 miles per gallon or 18, whatever it is. But, so, unfortunately, the job kind of holds us back from doing certain things.
Yeah.
And what we want.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear this one? So, you know, I like this guy, Ramit Sethi, on YouTube. He said something the other day. We always talk about renting and buying houses.
Yes.
He said something that made me think. And I have a mortgage like most people. I'm not renting anytime soon. But he said something when breaking down renting to buying. When you rent, your payment is the maximum amount you will spend on your house every month. When you have a mortgage, your mortgage payment is the minimum amount you will spend on your house every month. Really interesting. And then he started going into, for instance, your hot water heater goes, call the landlord. Oh, you have a house? You're buying a new hot water heater. Need a new roof? Call the landlord. Oh, you need a new roof? Go get a company to come fix your roof.
Yeah.
Your landscaping needs to be done. That's $200 a month. That's on you. Oh, you're renting? They'll take care. It's really amazing. He laid out all the different things that the renting to buying, and he's a renter, and he's very upfront about that, does not believe in buying. And I've always been a buyer. But really, when I have not gotten that out of my head.
Yeah, the only way, like when you're renting versus buying, the monthly troubles seem good for renting. But in the long run, when you go to sell your place, you'll get that money back from your air conditioning and your hot water heater. But
his answer to that is, it depends on the person you are. If you're a saver, renting, you'll have gobs of cash. If you're a spender, like I am, you're going to have nothing at the end of it. And his point with the renting and buying is, while you will get the money back, it's like a forced savings, you're still spending it in interest every month. Like, in the long run, you think you do make the money back because you get it back. but you've spent it too. Whereas the renting, you're not spending it. It's up to you to save it and tuck it away and put it in the S&P 500 or something like that. And if you're someone that's very organized and a saver, then you rent. If you're someone like me, you don't. I'll spend it all and have nothing at the end.
Yeah, I love that there are still so many things that there isn't a 100% correct
There's not
a correct answer.
It depends on the person.
Yeah.
Depends on their likes, their interests, their habits.
Right. And where in the country are you living?
That too.
And what is your future? Do you want to be able to move to different places and go to different...
I sent you that listing of Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
What a beautiful home. Not that far from here.
Right.
I don't know how much you looked into the listing.
I did. I go through all the pictures.
The property taxes are a third of what we're paying here. Like, damn. And in Pennsylvania, no state income tax, I don't think.
Is that right, Pennsylvania?
I don't think so. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think so. I think Pennsylvania is one of those states.
Hmm.
It's like, but there's no ocean.
No, yeah, you are landlocked in Pennsylvania.
You are landlocked. The only thing I would say to that is, I had to go to the beach one time this year. Not once.
Yeah, I think of that too. Believe me, living right across from the beach and realizing how short summer is.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
It's nothing. Well, our pool is down, and... I see my neighbors still have theirs open. And I said to Kim the other day, I'm like, I got to be honest, we didn't have the pool this year because it, you know, bit the dust in April or May when we went to put the new liner in. I didn't miss it a second. Not a second. I missed the backyard being in shambles all summer. Now it's, the rebuild is done. We got everything the way we want. I got something coming today to finish it. But I didn't miss not having the pool at all. We're still, I don't know.
The summer goes too quick. If you lived in Florida or something... Arizona.
Agreed.
Now, Pennsylvania does have income tax. I think Pennsylvania is one of those states that doesn't tax like your 401k when you take money out.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think it's one of those states that doesn't tax your retirement income.
Oh, okay. I knew
you still pay federal on it, but they're not going to hit you.
Got it.
With the thing as well.
Got it.
All right, Sherry, let's do the warm-up show. We're going to come back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. after a big Jet game in San Francisco. And here's what I know. When we answer the bell at 5 a.m., Aaron Rodgers better be standing upright with all body parts intact.
If he's not, you can do it with Eddie tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I can't. So...